So the story you're about to hear is a story of amazing victory, grace, and the provision of God. I'd like all of us to welcome our very own Tiana Dobbins. Where are you, Tiana? You're coming up here and share with us.
Good morning to everyone here. And I'm Tiana. To the little ones, better known as Miss Tinana or Miss T. And I'm here to share my testimony with you all, as well as share a few words of encouragement. I'm the mother of two girls and five boys, and I'm sure you all can imagine how rambunctious and busy our lives are. Well, unfortunately, July 4th, 2012, I lost my daughter, Nautica, due to complications with sickle cell disease. See, Nautica had contracted a viral infection, which was airborne and called a silent killer to those with sickle cell. Just a couple of hours after going into the hospital, Nautica was in a coma. And hours shortly after that, Nautica came to her sickness and passed. And during this time, I was left shocked, heartbroken, and confused. And my son, Michael, which was 1 year old, he was 1 year old at the time, and Nautica was 10 years old at the time that she passed. They're the only ones in the family that have the sickle cell disease. The rest of my children carry the trait. And I remember just 2 days prior to her passing, we were all outside, excited, ready for the 4th of July. She was riding on the sidewalk and occasionally getting sprayed by her brothers with the water gun. And just a couple of days after she passed, I was given a call by hematology telling me to hurry and get Michael there as soon as possible. He too was exposed to this virus and his organs would soon be shutting down as well. And I just felt like I didn't have time to take it all in before I was hit with another hard and tragic blow. I can only tell you the good Lord has surely had grace and mercy upon me during the time of making Nautica's funeral arrangements and praying and hoping that Michael will make a full recovery and make it through. And of course, I was a nervous wreck. But most of all, I remember the countless acts of kindness being shown by church members. And words can't express how thankful I am to have such a loving and caring family to do exactly what God would have wanted them to do in my desperate time of need. And aside from all that they were helping me with, most of all, I was thankful that they introduced me to Christ. They not only comforted me and showed me love, but they also fed me the words of the Lord and what he promised his children. And remembering that this is our temporary home, and Nautica knew that as well. And see, only 4 months before she passed, Nautica was baptized. And in that alone, I received confirmation that Nautica no longer has to suffer. And she is now a new person in a new body, glorified body of Christ. After weeks and weeks of unbearing hurt, pain, and heartache, I knew I couldn't carry and bear all this pain alone. I knew it had to be a better way. There were feelings of brokenness, emptiness, gut-wrenching, never-ending pain, along with confusion. About a week and a half after all was done, with my heart and my body feeling heavy, I bawled like a baby, needing the comfort of her father. I fell down to my knees in my kitchen, and I began to cry out and groan out to Jesus to help me, please to help me. I began to read one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which is Matthew 6, verses 31 through 34. And he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows them all. But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be sufficient for itself. and sufficient is the day is its own trouble. And I love that verse because it spoke loudly to me to seek the kingdom of God. And I began thinking it was time to get up and make a positive change. I began to go back to school. I received my GED, and shortly I started Pulaski Technical College, completing 2 semesters. I also began to indulge myself in church, in church activities, as well as the kids' activities. And what I found most comforting for me were the Bible study classes. And I also began to listen to K-Love and The Fish. And singing praises to the Lord is what helped soothe my hurting soul. And through all of this, I believe the Lord prepared me. And I can only give glory to the Father. I knew that I must use this tragedy in my life and turn it into something good. Nautica will be greatly loved and missed. And in order to see her again, I must continue my journey with the Lord. I wouldn't be a very good sister in Christ if I didn't tell you the impact Christ has had on my family and I. I realized if I depended and leaned on God in the darkest times and troubles, I could make it. And God alone has the power to do the impossible, far beyond our wildest imaginations. And that's what I hold on to, is hope. And my motivation is Nautica's salvation. And I know that Nautica is in heaven and no longer in constant pain. And at the foot of our Father gives me a sense of comfort and relief. And we as a family will see her again one day. But I must tell you to seek the Lord. He has the power, wisdom, and love to conquer all things. And the more I began to study, the more I began to feel at ease of Nautica, knowing if I laid out a foundation of Christ, and Christ being our front bone, backbone, and side bone, I was now laying out the priorities of our lives. And my children would learn to lean on him in the good times and especially the bad times. And I hope and pray that you all get something out of this, but if there's nothing that you all get, please remember to see God. He will fulfill all your needs, even the unspoken needs. And Nautica will live in my heart forever. And honestly, I don't know how I could have did it without the Lord. And we all have our own way of bearing pain, but I must tell you, my way was to follow the Lord's way. And I pray that God would use me to be a vessel for him, to lead others to the cross. I would like for you all to see a very meaningful song to me that just basically says everything that I would love to say. Here it goes.
If grace was a kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I've made. Oh, but I heard a whisper as heaven bent down. Said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown? Prodigals, it's the humble and the weak with gates open wide. And there's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside.
Guys, I love this song because he reminds me that it's not the righteous the Lord come for. It's the lost and the broken. Even sinners like me and you. And for those that don't know him, that's here today, you should try him. He is good news. And he's waiting with open arms. And for those that do know him, maybe that fire has died down. Light that fire back and remember the words that God told us and promised his children. Now think about, we only have approximately less than 100 years on this earth, but we get to spend eternity with our Father in Christ. So this time on earth, we should make it count for him. I thank you all for allowing me to share my testimony. May God bless you all and touch your hearts. Thank you.
And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. As Tiana and I were talking about this morning, I shared with her, I said, there's no purpose in me preaching after you speak, except that preachers feel they must. So here's what I decided to do is, I told her tag team this sermon. That would be the first half. I would offer just a few thoughts on the second. We've been in the Gospel of Mark, and the passage today was on Judas Iscariot. It didn't seem fitting, so I just wanted to step aside and say what Tiana has already said better than I could ever say, just a couple of points about our God being the God of the brokenhearted. Can I just make two points to us today? The first is this. Our God offers healing to the hurting, comfort to the grieving, and freedom to those in bondage. As Tiana was talking, I could not help but think and wonder how many of you in this room connected with her on a very deep level. I thought of some of you specifically who I know have walked the exact path she's walked in the loss of a child. And then I thought more generally of many of you who would say you have not walked that path, but you've walked some very hard roads. And Christmas is a unique time because not only is it Christmas, it's also the conclusion of the year. And I don't know about you, but when you think about this year, this must be one of the most single, depressing, sad years in terms of politics, culture, bad news. I talk to people every week who say this, that they're just afraid to turn on the news. They're afraid to see what's happening now. What happened last night when we were all asleep? Who's the next person that's been named as a terrible person who's done terrible things? If ever our hearts needed the message that Tiana just preached, and I know I'm a Southern Baptist, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care what you call it. That was preaching, and that was awesome, and that's the gospel. That's proclamation of the gospel. I'm grateful for it. Thank you. Conservative Southern Baptist me, Tiana. I like that. Awesome. It was women at the tomb who proclaimed that Christ is risen. It was women at the cross. And once again, it's a lady who stands before us and announces good news. But if ever our hearts need the message we just heard, it's today. Now, I just want to say this to you, that God offers healing to the hurting, comfort to the grieving, and freedom to those in bondage. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, the prophet of the Lord, says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Listen to this. "Because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." The good news of Jesus and the coming of Christ and the Easter season is to remind us that we have a God who is near to the brokenhearted, who rebuilds the ruins out of the ashes, who comforts, mends, and binds the brokenhearted, who gathers together those who have been scattered abroad, who carries on eagle's wings those who are in the pit. We have a God who loves broken people. Another way of saying that, we have a God who loves the world, for we are all broken people. I love that song, Tiana. I'm so grateful you wanted to play that. That God uses broken things. By the way, it's the only thing he has to work with. Broken things like me and like you. I love what Psalm 34:18 says when the psalmist wrote, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit." What I would like to communicate this morning to you is this. My prayer is that this Christmas, regardless of where you are, and because of where you are, would be a time of great healing in your life. Healing does not mean that everything is necessarily put right the way we want it. But it does mean that we recognize we have a God who will put all things right. Amen? We have a God who does not leave us in the ruins. I love this. He gives us a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. We were in the pit in ashes, with ashes on our head, grieving, broken, despondent, despairing, brokenhearted. But God comes to us. Our God says, "I will meet you there." He doesn't wait for you to crawl out of the pit before he meets you. That's something church people do. Church people say that people have got to get cleaned up first. I mean, listen to how we communicate to people. Get your problems fixed and then come to the church. What an absurd notion. It's like saying, get that sickness under control before you go to the hospital. Try to get things in order. And some of you feel that way. Some of you feel like in your own lives you shouldn't even be here because you're too broken. There's too much going on. Could be of your own making. I'm not just talking about people who have had things happen to them. I'm talking especially to folks who have caused the things that have happened to them. The gospel is for rebels who are willing to come home. The good news of Jesus is that there is nowhere we can go where he can't and doesn't want to reach us. He calls to us. So first of all, our God offers healing to the hurting, comfort to the grieving, and freedom to those in bondage. And Isaiah says this. Isaiah the prophet, in the Old Testament. This is what God is like. But then the second point I want to make is this. Jesus is the healing, comforting, liberating presence of God. How does God do what Isaiah in Isaiah 61 says God does? One of the most beautiful things in all of the New Testament is when Jesus went home to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue. In Luke 4, we read this. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And it can be interesting going home where you're from. I know when I go home where I'm from, I just pray I don't encounter anyone I knew in high school. By the way, is anyone else like that? I know people go to high school reunions and I think, voluntarily? I left high school. I left high school a year early. I left high school after my junior year. I got about three good buddies that I talked to and have talked to all these years, but other than that, I was gone. It's hard going home. I mean, I was just an absolute moron in high school. Honestly, I encountered one girl one time that I was in high school with, and she said, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." She said, "You?" I said, "I know. I'm as shocked as anyone, believe me." That's the kind of stuff I want to avoid. I want to avoid moments like that. But Jesus goes home, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Because I cannot help myself, I will point out to you that it was the custom of Jesus to go to the synagogue every week. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Wait a minute. The scroll of Isaiah, the passage we just read, was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, our text, our passage. And this is what Jesus says. Imagine Jesus stands up here to preach. You might think, that takes a lot of imagining given what we've got. I get that. But imagine Jesus stands up here and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. I love this. This is high drama. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed at him. He reads Isaiah 61. He sits down and everyone stares at him. And he began to say to them, watch, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What scripture? Isaiah 61. Today, church, today this scripture has been fulfilled. What scripture? Isaiah 61. Again, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. When, Jesus? Today, 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 today. Jesus is the today God of restoration. Jesus is the God who meets us today. Tiana could stand up here and say what she said. And as you talk, Tiana, I thought to myself, I don't know how she's doing that. Just unbelievable courage. She did that because Jesus is for her today what God said he was and is. It is a big difference There is a big difference between having a Christianity of will be and a Christianity of is. And a lot of you are just kind of white knuckling it until heaven when you think really cool things are going to happen. But behold our sister over here who stood up and said, it can happen right now. What if it happened right now? What if he could heal you right now? Does it mean you don't hurt anymore? Does it mean you don't remember anymore? Of course not. Tiana would stand up right now and say, of course that's not what it means. You still feel that. You still grapple with it. But the difference is one of perspective. Are you grappling with your pain from the perspective of a person who is right now in the presence of the risen Christ? Or are you just kind of white-knuckling it, hoping that somehow if you can grit your way through life, good things will happen to you? But here's the problem. If that's all Jesus means to you, you're going to be useless between now and when you see your loved one again. But there are hurting people who need you to be a right now Christian. It's not fair. I want to grieve for the next 40 years. I get that, but you have a God who conquered death. Does it not mean something to us that your Jesus is with you saying, I understand. I don't begrudge your tears. I don't begrudge your pain. It's not what I'm saying at all. I don't begrudge any of that, but let me use you in the midst of the fire. We just saw something astonishing in this church. A lady being used in the midst of the fire, helping people who are hurting. There is only one way to explain the miracle of Tiana Dobbins, and that's Jesus. Because without him, she would not be able to do that at all. Who is Jesus to you? He said, today this has been fulfilled. Listen, I understand. I understand the pressures of the normal season of Christmas and all that kind of brings. This week I got to go buy 9 gift cards for my nieces and nephews and put them in an envelope. And I've done that because I don't want to buy them presents. Postage is too much. Unfortunately, they all like gift cards. I understand what it's like. You go home and one of your little nephews, as happened to me, said, we're going to get a gift card this year. I'm like, Uncle Wyman always comes through. And he's like, honestly says, can we up that to $30 this year? And I think, I just died laughing. I was like, good try. Absolutely not. And I said, let me tell you something. When I'm 90 years old, it'll still be $25. It'll never go up. He's like, all right, I understand. I mean, just kind of the grind of Christmas and doing all of these things, but you know, that's nothing compared to what a lot of you are going through, which is like actual pain, actual heartbreak. And can I just say to you that perhaps this is exactly why we need Christmas, to remind us that Jesus has come on this day to give us hope. Church, hear me. Your Jesus is a this day Jesus. He didn't just come to sell you an insurance policy. So like 18 years ago, I got a 20-year life insurance policy. So the other day I was thinking, oh, I got to get another one. I get another one, I can make it to 63. And I'm having this McCabe conversation. I'm like, I don't want to get too early and pay twice as much for a year. I'd like to get it, and then I got to get it so maybe I, you know, die at 62 and a half, and Ronnie can go to the Bahamas and grieve. I don't know. I'm just thinking these things through. We kind of come to terms with all of these things. I mean, we think about the coming of our end and what it means, but that's not how your life with Jesus should be. What if you could have joy, peace, and freedom right now? If you say, not possible, then you did not hear Tiana Dobbins speak. are others in this church who bear similar testimony to the grace of God. My prayer for you this day is freedom. Freedom from whatever has you in bondage. Crippling grief, I pray that you begin to heal and move forward. Not that you flip a switch, not that you stop thinking about it. That's not what we mean. That's not what Jesus ever says. But to let him carry you through. Freedom from a prison of your own making. Say, I put myself here. It's my own problem. It's my own habits, my own addictions, my own problems, my own propensities, my proclivities, what I do. It's just me. It's always me. I keep putting myself in prison. What if you could be free? Say, I've battled this for years. I could never be free. You weren't listening to Tiana. It is possible to be free. It is possible to be free and to walk with Jesus. We are imperfect. We struggle. We fall. But to give ourselves to a perfect Savior who takes us by the hand and says, I will see you through. That is my prayer for you. Some of you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You're thinking, that was a really moving story that lady shared. It is moving, but it's more than that. We didn't ask her to share this because we thought it was a feel-good story. We asked her to share it because it's evidence of the gospel. It proves the gospel. It proves the gospel that what Jesus said is true, that he is with us, that he brings healing, liberation, freedom, that he can see us through insurmountable things. That's what this Christmas is. It's a time for you to be free. Hey, listen, what if you just came on out of the prison? What if you just set aside the poison? What if you just came home? Jesus is waiting for you to come home. Would you bow your heads with me?